you doing? And later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
All righty. All right, we're on. We survived another day, and we're back. And tonight, midweek broadcast of the program, as I promised you, we would look up once again Mr. Ian O'Hara, who is a genealogist, a historian. In fact, we had him on our TV programs that we taped today, and we did three shows, three half-hour programs, talking primarily about the influence of Senator Nelson Aldrich and his family in Rhode Island's history. And tonight, we're going to take a little different tact and turn, if you will, when he comes on. We're going to talk more about something that, of course, would be of more interest to more people across America and the world, for that matter, and that would be the influence of others in this matrix of powerful elite globalists, and yes, particularly the Rockefeller family, and among others, and the Bushes and so forth. So this should be a very interesting program once again, and I beckon you, don't wait till the last minute. Absolutely not. Please get on the lines if you have a question for Ian O'Hara, then dial us up and we'll put you on hold till we get to you, but you'll be taken in the order in which the calls have come. 800-313-9443 is the number. Let me say hello to Ian right now. Hi, Ian.
How are you, Rick?
Good. After today, I'm doing fine. We had a good TV show, didn't we?
We did.
You did marvelously.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I thought the television show went quite well.
Yes, it was excellent, and you spoke freely and liberally and without any hesitation about your research, and I admire the fact that you have studied this field so long that you can just rattle off names and relationships, nephews, aunts, uncles, nieces, and so forth, and these families than anyone else I know of, that's for sure. So tonight we'll have a chance for you to share with us a lot that I have questions about, I'm sure people have questions about, in the evolution of influence in America of these powerful families, many of them from Europe, of course, originally, and what they have done in American history. So I'm looking forward to that. And when we come back from the break, Ian, the first break in about 3 minutes, I want to really start with the Rockefellers. And, of course, we have to go back to Senator Nelson Aldrich in Rhode Island to some extent, and his maternal, he was the maternal grandfather of Nelson Rockefeller. So, the Federal Reserve was enacted, and the income tax, and the direct election of senators. It was a watershed year for sure, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Good. Well, when we come back, we'll get right into it and talk about the Rockefellers and who's left today, who's running the family, who's running the mint, as they say, and all about the organizations that they have formed and the societies that they have belonged to. So we'll talk about them and entertain questions as we go along tonight with our guest, Ian O'Hara, genealogist, Rick Adams, radio avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio. We shall return with our guest. Stay tuned.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
First step in winning the war, spreading the word. Tell your friends Rick Adams is on RBNLive.com.
Yes, we are, and welcome to the program. People already lining up to ask questions. That's fine. We'll take your calls as soon as we can in the order in which they come in. 1-800-313-9443. Ian, first question has to do with the Aldridges and the Rockefellers. When did they get together?
They got together with the marriage of Nelson Wilmarth Aldridge's daughter, Abby,
uh-huh.
and the only son of John Davison Rockefeller Sr.
Wow.
And that marriage is approximately 1900.
About 1900?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we see the John D. Now, this was John the Third, right? John D. the Third?
No, this is John D. Jr.
Oh, John D. Jr. Okay. All right. So John D. Rockefeller, of course, he, what, was dead by that time from the 1800s?
No, he was still living.
He was still living by the early 1900s, right?
Yes.
Okay. And when did he pass on, the father?
That would be approximately 1920.
About 1920, huh? And of course, then we see the marriage taking place, and we see Nelson Rockefeller. We see what, David Rockefeller, Winthrop, was it, Lawrence Rockefeller, I believe.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
many altogether? How many Rockefellers?
Six in total.
Six. Now they're all what? All men or any women?
One daughter, Abby.
Abby, yeah.
And sons, John III, yeah. Nelson, mm-hmm. Lawrence, Winthrop, and David.
Right, right, exactly. John the Third is what I was thinking of. Now, they all scattered about in the United States. Is that what they did?
Well, they were predominantly New York residents.
Yeah.
Except for Winthrop, who moved to the state of Arkansas.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. And when they, I mean, each one has its own imprimatur, I guess, or their own mark to be left, their footprint in the soil, I suppose. They've all had varying degrees of interest, and most of them, I guess, probably saw eye to eye on many issues, but there were some differences of opinion, were there, on policy and what policies should be enacted in the United States?
Well, each of the boys took on their own political diversion. The eldest boy, John the Third, his family tended more towards the liberal democratic end. Nelson and Winthrop or Winnie ended up taking on the Republican cloak, and the other two pretty much stayed out of the business of politics.
Uh-huh.
Per party wise.
Right, and think of the banking industry is certainly something that when we think of banking and Chase Manhattan, we think of David Rockefeller, right?
Well, yes, actually the whole entire family began the Chase family of banks.
Mm-hmm.
All of the boys were involved with some sort of chairmanship or associate chairmanship with that particular institution, as well as ownership within that institution.
Right.
As well as having seats on the New York Stock Exchange and having seats on the Federal Reserve Board.
Right, right. I think you're fading a little bit or breaking up. Is your phone okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good. I want to make sure you have a good power source there.
Chase, all of them had some sort of face on the Chase National Bank system.
Uh-huh. How did that come to be, though? What was the opportunity that they should be at the right place at the right time?
Well, the robber barons had their own banking machinations. Morgan had his separate institution, as well as, Mellon and Carnegie, as well as the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers and the Morgans ended up combining forces and creating the Morgan Chase family of banks. And hence Chase National, now known as Chase Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Chase name is another name which is synonymous to the state of Rhode Island as well.
Yeah.
As well as being basically the name and somewhat of a foundation within the Chase banking family.
So this turn of the century thing, that is the 20th century, really saw the growth of these elite, these industrialists, bankers, and so forth. And the Rockefellers were, you say, basically all of them, the brothers and sister, were basically all had their hands in the pie to some extent, right?
Yes, they did.
Now, I know that we think of things that other than the banks and the banking system, that the Rockefellers, of course, were heavily involved in. And I know they had set up the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rockefeller Trust, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund and then the Rockefeller Foundation, which are both separate entities.
Exactly.
doing different, funding different organizations.
Now, some of the organizations that I believe they have been very intimately involved in this century, the previous century, was like Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger and Population Control, wasn't it?
Yes, the five brothers, Abby, she was very, very interested in the Planned Parenthood and the Population Council, and of course the Council on American on the Americas, all of which are in relation to these institutions are all relative to the population control and identification.
And they're still doing it today.
Yes, they are.
More than ever, I should say, as a matter of fact. What about the eugenics programs of Sanger and Hitler and so forth? Was there any direct tie-in there?
Well, eugenics was something that was a very popular trend for a period of time, and some of the wealthier families had some sort of, all of them had some interest in it. I wouldn't necessarily, I don't know necessarily at this moment in time who was out of that group, but I'm sure that eugenics was popular amongst them to an extent.
Yeah. What is it about the population that fascinated the Rockefellers in their writings and so forth? Did you?
Well, it was it's about limitation and control. And if you just think about these particular organizations that are part and parcel, they do hold these views, these very limited views of population control through government intervention and government balance within lives. Very socialist, very communist ideas.
Yeah. And here they are, the super rich, the super wealthy, funding these ideas which normally people would think would be at odds with their wealth. Isn't that interesting?
I do. I find that very interesting.
How do you account for it, Ian?
I would say is because they have absolutely nothing to lose. In reference to this, because their cash and their lively fundamentals are already tied into a system which is in unbreakable in the current system of holding on to income and maintaining that.
It's all about control, huh?
It is. It's definitely about control.
You know, when people have so much wealth, so much money, and the one thing that hits them is how to make more, and still that's not enough, and how to get more, what's next? It's all about, hey, how can we actually control things? How can we control other people's lives to make us, to make them conform to our wishes? They're like exactly what we call them, elitists. They're people who know better than you or me how to rule our lives. That's the way they think, isn't it?
Well, I would say that some people would definitely find that as a rationale to describe what they do. Yes.
And we think of like Nelson Rockefeller, for instance. You know, here he was. Hey, he was Vice President of the United States.
He was.
And that's an interesting thing and how he got there in itself. Let's talk about these things when we come back, and then we'll take some calls for Ian, our guest, Ian O'Hara. He's an historian, genealogist. I'm Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we are back now with Ian, our guest, Ian O'Hara. We'll be with your calls in a few moments, 1-800-313-9443. Questions, of course, are welcome. Nelson Rockefeller, how is it that he managed to get into the White House in the 1950s in the Eisenhower administration, Ian?
Well, he was he became very popular within the Eisenhower administration as an aide, as most of the Rockefeller men of his generation were.
H.E.W., wasn't it?
I'm sorry?
Was it H.E.W.?
Well, it was more they were more as aides visitors to the president, personal friends of presidents such as David and the other boys. But Nelson Aldrich Rockefeller had basically had the liberal wing of the Republican Party under his belt. I mean, it was eventually called the Rockefeller Republic
right.
Northeast. And he was a very aggressive and progressive governor of the state of New York during his time. And what that did is that that brought him a great deal of praise from the Republican Party at the time, and definitely a choice as an aide-de-camp for President then eventually becoming a vice presidential pick for the harrowing Gerald Ford.
Yes.
And then, of course, being a vice president during Ford's administration. And that was about the closest he got at the time to that seat. And I would say probably the only boy out of the whole group that had any aspirations for the presidency.
Right. Well, I mean, studying the era in that particular time, and the Ripon Society, as it were, you know, the Republican left elite trying to move the party even further over to the left with Eisenhower from Taft and so forth, you know, is a good example of how these internationalists were able to basically take both parties and take them down the same primrose path. That's what they were doing.
Well, I could definitely see that argument.
Yeah, well, it's what happened essentially, right? I mean, you had people like Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, you know, people like that showing their influence in Washington circles heavily. They were doing, you know, various smear numbers on McCarthy and Martin Dies and other people who were trying to investigate corruption and communism in the party, and they were doing everything they possibly could, and they succeeded in moving the party even further to the left, and so both parties were on the same playing field, essentially, you know? That's what they were doing. Classic examples of it. And Nelson fit in perfectly with the Department of Welfare, under Eisenhower, Department of Human, what was it, Health, Education, and Welfare, I believe.
Yeah.
After the Sputnik claims by the Soviet Union, all of a sudden we had to have federal aid to education. And if we didn't have more federal involvement initiated in education, they said, we wouldn't be able to catch up with the Russians. You know, I mean, they were excelling at everything. And my goodness, we needed to have a strong central government, more power, more regulation, more education, more bureaucracies. And that's exactly what they were doing. Eisenhower was increasing that spending, increasing the role of bureaucracy to a great extent.
Yes, I could definitely see that argument in reference to the directive of the party. And the influence that this particular family had both parties at the time, and still do to this day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so here Nelson, you know, he was vice president. It's so ironic that he came so close, but a heartbeat away, and yet could not attain what he really wanted, was to become president through the back door.
Right. Well, I mean, he did walk into an administration at the time which was not elected, and I guess hoping to be scooped into the coattails of the positiveness, perceptive positiveness of Gerald Ford's administration.
Uh-huh. Now, isn't it interesting also their roles in the Council on Foreign Relations, Jerry Ford and Rockefeller brothers, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on, how these people in power and positions in the administrations would also happen to be members of this organization. That was pretty interesting, too, huh?
Well, they're not just members, but they were also chairman of that particular organization.
Yes.
And charter founders of that particular organization.
Mm-hmm.
Both through funding and through their own personal time, and has been funded ever since then through the family fund.
Yes, indeed. More to come. Stay tuned. We'll take some calls in between, starting with you on the line, 800-313-9443. There's a line available. Our guest, Ian O'Hara. We shall return with more genealogies. Be right back. I'm Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Hey, we're back, and I got another adjunct question before we take calls about the Rockefellers' influence in politics. Nelson was pretty upfront about his role in American politics, pretty much, Ian, but what about David? Now, David is one of the only remaining members of the family, right? And he's like 93 now or something?
Of that generation, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of the brothers and so forth and the sister.
He never stepped into the framework of politics, although he's been very, very involved on the inside through several organizations which he founded or chaired throughout his lifetime, and still currently does.
Some of them are the Trilateral Commission.
That is correct. CFR, Trilateral Commission, Council on American Affairs, the Peterson Institute, the Federal Reserve Bank. Gosh, good golly!
He's just 93, you know. In his book that he authored, you know, where he boasted of how he thanked the media for being so kind as to not report on his meetings and his activities over the years, keeping the American people in the dark, and that was a kind gesture on their part, he opined in the book, and then went on, you know, to say, if in fact, you know, what people have said about me is that I am a conspiratorialist, and I am a powerful elite, and I am working for the dismemberment of the sovereignty of the United States, and I am working for a global union, a one-world government. And he says, if this is the charge, in so many words, paraphrasing, he said, I plead guilty. And here in his 90s, he really remains as defiant as ever before in his life, I think. And he hasn't mellowed a bit and is quite proud of his accomplishments, it seems to me, Ian.
Well, it just shows the positions that he holds. I mean, just the fact that he sits on the World Bank, the IMF, has at many points in time chaired the Chase Manhattan Group, has been involved with the development of the CIA and the NSA, and currently chairs the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, as well as being an active member within the Bilderberger group. That would give you definitely your answer to that question.
I guess it does, doesn't it? Huh? I mean, this guy is just, in fact, he's just formed another organization having to do with saving the Republican Party from the extremism of the religious right, as he's referred to it, and trying to maintain this voice of moderation, as he calls it. So, you know, that's a code word, and we know exactly what he means by that. You know, the one thing that seems to me that people like the Rockefellers and others have always feared is that someday the American public, John Q. public, would wake up to their game, their con, their lies, and would actually uproot and remove the vestiges of these family holdings, these elite structures that have been created. And that fear is still hasn't dissipated. In fact, I think they're more frightened now with the fact that they have awakened so many people through the Internet, particularly in talk radio such as us, that they see a danger ahead for themselves in trying to implement this program. Since it's been piecemeal, a little here and a little there, now they're afraid if they don't speed it up, they're going to lose the whole thing. And on the other hand, saying if they move too slow, well, you know, then they'll never attain it. So either way, I think there is some fear and trepidation in their hearts because of this. I don't know what you think about it, but that's my perception. How do you feel?
Well, I could possibly see that as a possibility.
All right. Okay. And now I guess he dropped off. Jeff just dropped off the line. Oh, he dropped off. Is he still there? The caller? Okay, all right. Right now we have an available line at 1-800-313-9443. The other brothers and sister in the family were also equally involved, to some extent, in their own pet project, right?
That's correct.
What were some of the other big pet projects they were interested in?
Well, Abby Rockefeller Mays, and her pet project was, of course, the Population Council on Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
Very involved with also hospital networks and New York hospitals,
mm-hmm.
Memorial Sloan Kettering, and, of course, the American Red Cross. In reference to Nelson, he was very, very involved with the machinations of New York politics, and the governance boards for the state of New York. Lawrence, the middle brother, he had his own pet projects, his own company called Ventrock Corporation, which was a very interesting investment group.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a seat on the New York Stock Exchange, as well as his brother David. And he dealt, his two pet projects was were the airlines, Eastern Air and McDonnell Douglas, and creating airships that were cheap and inexpensive, for flight. But his own personal project was his interest in the Buddhist movement, the Eastern traditions, mm-hmm. and of course the UFOs. He was the individual who finally got the UFO groups organized and together and funded.
Mm-hmm.
Was under the leadership of Lawrence Spelman Rockefeller.
Why was he so interested in UFOs?
Well, he, for some odd reason, had a deep affinity for extraterrestrial life. Devout believer in that, so anyhow,
maybe he thought he was going to colonize space, perhaps.
Well, he could very well have thought that he was going to colonize space, and yeah. He was very interested in aeronautics and space travel and the ideas of science fiction and such.
Mm-hmm.
And willing to step forward for those organizations, mm-hmm. as well as trying to open up the Roswell incident and such. So,
right. Now, you also, I want to back up a minute, because you mentioned the field of medicine, and was it Lawrence you said was more interested in that, or Winthrop?
In reference to medicine?
Yeah,
medicine was both the younger generation, the current generation of Rockefellers. We have Richard Rockefeller, of course, who's one of the youngest son of David, mm. who is the founder and financier of mm-hmm. Doctors Without Borders.
Right, exactly. But there was something else that I was getting at, and that was the... You know, we've heard so much about the foundations and the big pharmaceutical industries getting powerful after the 1920s, starting to grow the 30s and 40s, and certainly after the war years, they devoted an incredible amount of resources to literally, you know, creating the power of the FDA so it would knock out a lot of competition in America.
I definitely understand that that direction. A lot of it revolved around, of course, the globalist idea of the WTO working on in the incurable disease factors, cancer research. As well as, of course, the pharmaceutical market.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
And how closely... You know, the interesting thing is that they themselves never had a market share in pharmaceutical industries, but they as a family, have market shares in the health insurance industries,
mm-hmm.
which is the interesting factor with this, as well as, of course, funding all of and most of health organizations worldwide and nationwide.
Yeah. In fact, let's see now. The land on which the United Nations sits today, wasn't that donated by the Rockefellers?
That is correct.
And that land, they were so interested in peace, they said, and world peace, that they thought it would be nice to have a donation from them to set up this august body that would supposedly bring peace to the world, a godless organization with peace through understanding as its foundation, you know, its claim, its mantra. And... they also had, and this is also what I'm getting at too, the Rockefeller family had a tremendous interest in promoting the field of liberal Christianity and churchianity, particularly people like, Harry Emerson Fosdick, I believe, and some of the early modernistic preachers, and they had an interest in getting the religious community to walk in lockstep with the One World plans, from what I've seen and read over the years. Have you done a lot of research in that area as well, Ian?
Well, I'm somewhat familiar, but it's not my field of expertise.
Right, but you have crossed into that area.
I have.
You've seen the evidence, right?
Well, I've seen definitely interesting tidbits and facts. Council on Churches. And,
yeah, National Council of Churches and so forth.
Right. Definitely the liberalization of the Christian faith through these inter- and intra-church organizations. And a majority of their funding as well as resources are from these boards and foundations.
Right.
That are funded through Rockefeller interest.
Some of the boards you just referred to tonight on the program, and there are others that you probably haven't even gotten around to. They're front groups they set up. You know, like, for instance, the Council on Foreign Relations is a good example. Edmund Mandel House had helped incorporate in 1919, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Council on Foreign Relations also has the domestic arm, and that's the Committee for Economic Development, for example. And then, in addition to that, it has the Foreign Policy Association adjunct, the World Policy Association, and those types of different aspects of its reach, that is, its umbrella organization. So they try to, like, cover all the bases and heavily involved with academia. In fact, I could spend the whole program probably asking you about the universities and colleges which the Rockefellers, among other families, the Carnegies, the Mellons, and so forth, have endowed, for instance, universities, departments, right?
Yes, there are definitely departments and large holdings which the family has given lengthy endowments to, Brown University being one, mm-hmm. Harvard University being another, Princeton, Yale, even smaller city colleges and state universities.
So, as a matter of fact, as I said on the TV show, Brown University has the Rockefeller Library. The entire library was created in the memory of John D. Rockefeller.
That's correct. And all of its furnishings and resources and its current endowment, one of the few private libraries on a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a lot of very interesting things. I mean, a lot of Asian and Eastern society, Asian society and Eastern society interests in that particular library at Brown University.
Yes.
The studies of Eastern cultures, as well as Eastern religions.
Now, they didn't just do this out of the goodness of their hearts. I mean, the so-called great philanthropists, the Kennedy Foundations and the Rockefellers, the Mellons, the Ford Foundation and so forth. Now we see some of them there that are in the forefront today of helping to finance these fifth column groups in America that are part of the Invasion USA. And, you know, my goodness, Henry Ford would roll over today, and many others, looking at what has been done in their name to America. But you look at the role of the Rockefellers and their ilk in creating the funding here for these institutions, academia. Hey, they weren't just doing this because they were interested in teaching young people how to read and write and learn of other cultures, were they? Or am I just naive here?
I really can't answer that. That would be something that I think your listeners need to think about on their own.
Yeah.
And come to their own conclusion.
Uh-huh.
But I would suggest that one who supports specific organizations and institutions, would they not be interested as well personally in those ideals that those institutions and organizations...
Well, for instance, that's a good question. Did you find stipulations, for instance, if you, I don't know how deeply you can go on any specific aspect, but let's say the Rockefellers donated $50 million to start a library or start a scholarship fund or endow a department of history or whatever. Did they stipulate certain factors with that money? And when we come back, we'll see if we can answer that, all right?
Okay.
All right, hold on to that thought and that answer, which I think is in the affirmative. Ian is our guest. Ian O'Hara, genealogist. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, 800-313-9443 is the number.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Rick Adams is back. Live, uncensored, Radio Free America continues on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right. I'm back now with our guest, and people are telling us that they're really so fascinated in what you have to say that some of them just don't know what to ask as far as questions, because they think you're really giving them quite a real education tonight. It's like listening to a professor in a classroom, and I agree with that. But one caller just called up off the air, and I want to get back to the question that I asked you, and you could answer it about the stipulations. But somebody had called up, and so while we're talking about the environment and population control and all of these other factors, they want to know what relationship did the Rockefeller brothers in the 50s have with the other party? Was it just the Republican Party, or weren't they working within the Democratic Party too?
Oh no, they were working with each brother. Like I stated earlier, Nelson and Winthrop were working with the Republicans, and
right.
Lawrence and John were working with the Democrats. David was basically not working with any particular party at the time.
Right.
But two brothers took up one party cause, and the other two brothers took up another party cause.
Well, yeah, there you go.
And
that's the answer. It's sort of like the European Jewish banking families, the Warburgs, you know, and the others, the Rothschilds, and they were the Schiffs, you know, financing North and South. One brother went one way, the other, and here they were both making money. And both causing a lot of bloodshed, taking advantage of it, making money.
Hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Now, to get back to the other question before the caller asked that off air, the question about the stipulations, for instance, that the Rockefellers would put in their grants, for instance, their grant money, say to a college and so forth. Give us an answer and some examples if you can, Ian.
Well, there are definitely stipulations on monies which are donated in large bulk to institutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, the stipulation is the maintenance of the facility itself and its procurement of related materials.
Yeah.
Definitely in reference to, the arts programs in the New York, the state universities of New York and the CUNY system, if one were to get a scholarship through their scholarship fund, mm-hmm. you would have to follow in an arts footstep and go through their program as well, just as you see with their social programs, networking you through moving along into the international programs that they have set aside within the UN. A lot of students graduating from the Ivy and moving into UN positions, lower UN positions. Example would be going into the population control committees and working there as a student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yes, there are stipulations, and every institution has their own stipulation.
Right. Okay. I want to get back and more questions ahead, and hour number two coming right up now of our program, Uncensored Radio Free America. Back to school with Ian O'Hara, genealogist and historian, right here on the program, only on RBNLive.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar.